Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for this show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Y'all have heard a lot of good stuff on this. It's a very complicated topic, but I think these other brothers have lined it out pretty quick. I'm going to say a couple of quick words and take my seat. I want to pick up right where Pastor Raul left off. He's talking about every moment should be a godly moment. I agree with that. I think every moment is an opportunity to be a godly moment. And I think what we're looking at in this question is that small moments can be godly moments. We have a temptation, I know I do, I know a lot of people do, to think that the bigger it is, the more godly it must be, right? So I got to turn it into something. That's because we're chasing the feelings. We want things to feel real godly. Problem with feelings is they run out. They run out real quick. So you end up chasing that next dramatic moment or that next kind of mountaintop moment, that next big feeling. And that's not actually a way you can run a life. You can't just live your spiritual life chasing feeling to feeling. That leads to a lot of problems because you kind of lose all your bearings. But I want to say, let's look at how can I make something godly once it happens. Both pastors have said, and I want to reiterate it, I don't know what happened when you were sitting there. And I'm not interested in evaluating whether this was what or not. Maybe it was just air conditioning. I don't know about y'all. It's 90 degrees outside. I'm very thankful to God for air conditioning. Being in an air-conditioned room when it's 90 degrees in Chicago can be a godly moment. So I don't really care if it was just a drafty room or if it was, you know, a chill. Because the question, we got to ask the right questions in those moments, right? If we want to know what to do next, because that's the important thing. That's what makes a moment godly or not. You get a word, you get an impulse. That's not godly. What we do with that is either godly or not godly. The question isn't, what was that? Because it doesn't really matter what it was. It happened. The question is, now what? That's where we get going in these good places. So what? You have those so what moments. Something happened. What am I going to do with it? Where you can lose that is there's two. We talk sometimes at the bridge about kind of left and right limits. If you think about driving down a road, we don't want to be on the wrong side of the road. We don't want to be in the ditch. We know that we don't want to get in those places. We want to try to keep it in the middle and define where that is. You get some Christians who will say that we just can't know, and it probably was just a drafty room, and that means that you should just not even worry about it, not chase it. As both Pastor Weldon and Pastor Rowe have pointed out, that's not what the Bible says. That's people who are very uncomfortable with mystery and things they don't understand. They want to put the whole God experience in a box and say, if I can't explain it and understand it, and if it hadn't happened to me, then it probably didn't happen to you, because what, you think you're more special than me? The Psalm 115 very clearly says, God is enthroned on heaven, and he does what pleases him. Can't tell God what he can't or cannot do. You come to me and say, I heard this, felt that, great. I'm not trying to get in the business of telling you what God is not doing. So that's fine. On the other extreme of that is you get the, what we would sometimes hear at the bridge describe as the Christians, you know. They just get a word. They never do anything with the word. The word never tells them to serve someone or help someone or do something. But they got that word. Don't you wish you had a word? Maybe if you lived clean like I do, you would get a word. What they're trying to sell you on is that somehow this thing, not only did it happen, but it makes them special. Now that's not true either. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is talking about a bunch of things. And he says that all gifts and spirits come from the same God. And it's not, he chooses who he's going to give things to. Paul says, if God gave you the direct ability to predict the future, to what they would call in the Old Testament, prophesy, I wouldn't make you any more special than any other Christian. Amen. That's just how it is. But it can play on that kind of insecurity. I think that's where we get chasing some of this stuff, trying to figure out what does it mean and what does it mean about me that this thing happened or didn't happen, or that my buddy says this thing happened, but it didn't happen to me. You end up chasing all that, and that's not a way to go, because you've got to have a proper understanding of who you are. Talk about this a lot here at the Bridge, about identity. If you have a proper understanding of your identity, you can figure out a lot of these things without getting in too much trouble. You shouldn't have to wonder if you are special to God. God created you. He sent His Son to die for you. His Holy Spirit lives in you. It doesn't get any more special. A chill does not make that more or less special. Now, God tries to get our attention in our own specific ways, to walk with Him, to go places, but the getting the attention is not the key part. It's the what we do with that later. It's that so what. And I want to focus on this for just a second. I want to go to something Pastor Rule in his verse was saying about, you know, the eating, and if you eat or drink, do that to the glory of God. The Bible talks a lot, Jesus talks a lot, about eating and drinking and comparing that thing, and uses that as kind of an analogy a lot. And I think one of the reasons of that is you can't be using these godly moments as fuel. You have to use them as food. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. You go down to the gas station, you fill your car, you don't think about that again until that gas tank is on empty, hopefully a little long way down the road. You can fill up, and we're going to have a great meal tonight after the service. You can eat as much as you can possibly eat until you're about to burst. You're going to wake up tomorrow hungry. That's the way food works. You don't get to fill the tank and then not think about it anymore. And we're going to go to this verse. This is Jesus talking about this very idea. This is in Matthew 4:4. This is when Jesus, it says, he's tempted in the desert. These are some of the first couple things that happened when Jesus' whole ministry, when he's kind of laying down what this whole thing is going to be about. So he's in the desert, 40 days and 40 nights, hasn't eaten or drank, and Satan is tempting him. And one of the things Satan tries to tempt him with, he says, I know you're hungry, and you got these rocks in front of you. Command these rocks to become bread and eat them so you can prove to me that you're God. So you can prove to me about your identity. So I can make you jump through some hoops. That sound like people we might know in our own life? Prove it? Okay. This is how Jesus responds. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I like that comparison of the word of God to bread. Then here's what Jesus says about bread. This is, you guys probably know this. This is in the Lord's Prayer, and this big thing called the Sermon on the Mount, which Jesus is basically giving his first big public sermon, and he's telling people this is what it's going to be about. And this is what he's teaching them how to pray. It says, Matthew 6:11, give us today our daily bread. We're only going to worry about bread one day at a time, because that's how bread works. You can't eat a bunch and then plan to run on that forever and ever. That's not how that works. So these godly moments can be small moments, and in a way they have to be small moments because they occur all the time. God is trying to communicate with you on a daily level. As Hallie talked about in the launching pad, that still small voice. Now sometimes he shouts to get your attention if you need him to shout. Now I don't know about y'all, but a lot of my praying is, Lord, let me figure this out before you need to yell at me about it. Because I don't want to know what comes after the shout. I'm not looking to find that out. We all know people who have gotten locked up, lost everything, physical injury, because they were doing something they didn't need to be on. And the Lord put wise people in their life, put people to love them, gave them all these hints. They didn't take any hints. Take the hint. If the chill is a hint, run on that. Do something with it. It's okay. All right. Let's look at this last verse about this. This is from Revelation 3. Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. A little thing can be a knock. That can be an invitation to a godly moment. But you got to get up and answer the door, right? You got to do something. You don't say, you know, if you're at your house and someone you're waiting on comes over and knocks, you don't just sit in the chair and go, boy, it really is reassuring that they're knocking on my door and not other doors. That's really good. I feel very good about that. Hopefully one day they'll come by and knock again. No, you get up and go to the door. Jesus is out there, wants to eat with you. But you have to respond a little bit. You have to be willing to be led. We talk about following Jesus for a reason. And it's just like we're talking about today. It's daily things. It's little things. It's course corrections here and there. It's not one big emotional thing, one big dramatic thing to the next. That's not how that works. You have godly moments in every day of your life because the Spirit of God is within you. God is interested in your life, in you finding out what He wants you to do. So the key isn't identifying, is God trying to talk to me? He is. We can squash that right now. He is. Question is, am I in a mindset to listen to what's being said, and then am I willing to follow? I don't always know what that means. I got to chill. I don't know what that means. I was fellowshipping. Maybe that says fellowship's good. That's true. There's a way we can know, we can get some guidelines. Because you have these personal experiences with God. Those are very good, but they're super specific, but we don't always know what they mean. But we have Scripture. We have hopefully wise people God has put in our life and have been doing this a little longer, know a little bit more. And those are times to say, here's what I'm thinking this is. Does this line up with Scripture? Does it line up with the good counsel I'm getting? And if all that points in the same direction, we got a little roadmap to our next step. And then we'll wait for the next knock and that next step and on and on. And that's how we live a godly life. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're going to release our host.